Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Energy Speaks Back, powered by B2B Energy. My name is Paul Webb, and I'm the founder of B2B Energy, and I'm your host. And weekly, I present to you energy experts from around the world. Welcome to episode 132. And our purpose, as always, is to provide a good understanding of energy management knowledge from around the world, which is available today for us to deliver savings that impact on our planet. We would like to thank utility people who are creating a better career and future for people in our industry, and Esther Energy, who are our certificate partners. Welcome, energy enthusiasts, to another enlightening episode of Energy Speaks Back. Today, we have a special guest, a true advocate for a vibrant and sustainable world. He not only preaches green living, but has a catchy mantra. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Today, we'll unravel the shades of green with our guests and explore how even the little things can make a big difference in the world of energy conservation and sustainability. So without any further ado, let's dive into the conversation with the Wizard of Wizzo himself, Mark Gilligan. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you today?
I'm great, Paul. Looking forward to our conversation here.
Brilliant. And whereabouts are you based, Mark?
Well, I'm in Belfast, Paul, born and reared here, and this is where we're, Wizzo's a Belfast company, if you like, and we're reliant on a few other people, some over in England, actually, as our manufacturers, but it's essentially a Belfast company.
Right. And is it going to be manufactured in Belfast?
No, well, we have a terrific manufacturer in England. Who we looked around and thought we should keep Wizzo as a sort of a tight company and make use of partners, you know, try and connect with partners who have the infrastructure and have those sort of skills in place.
Yeah.
So we have very lucky to find a terrific contract manufacturer, you know, out there who are happy to make Wizzo and who like the idea of it, love the idea of it. That's quite a well sort of developed industry, you know, contract manufacturer around detergents and cleaning products and stuff. It's, you know, it's quite well established.
I can see, is it the sun shining through your window there? Or is it just light?
It's just a bit of light. There's no sun today here. It's it's just been weather warning actually in place. It's gone up. The weather's been terrible. But
yeah, we've got the weather warnings in the UK at the moment. Rain, yeah. Floods, etc. We can only put that down to one thing, can't we?
Well, if you don't think it's down to climate change, you need to, you know, go and have another think. Or talk to someone who can maybe convince you. But it's just not normal. It wasn't like this 50, 60 years ago, and it's incredibly prevalent. So we've all got a bit of a challenge on our hands, Paul, I think.
We have indeed. Now, as I said, we've met through LinkedIn, and we've had quite a few meetings, and I've really sort of feel that I've got to know you more. But for the benefit of the audience, can you give us some background story to yourself and some origin story of how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, well, I'm a civil engineer. Okay, so I'm a chartered civil engineer. Have been for a long time. I worked in the waste management industry. Originally, I was a landfill guy, which was quite interesting. I really enjoyed that. And then after that, I joined a company that has since been purchased by somebody else. But I joined a company called Golder Associates, which was a global environmental consultancy, originally based in Toronto, but big operation up in the UK and Maidenhead and Nottingham and Leeds and whatever. And I opened an office for Golder in Belfast in 2005, which was great fun. And then in 2010, I was appointed the managing director of Golder for the UK and Ireland. I did that for 5 years. I then took on a role over in the Middle East, a business development role over there after stepping down. And really around that, Paul, is where I got to do a bit more traveling. You know, we couldn't ask people to go to certain places if we wouldn't go ourselves. So I went to Saudi Arabia, I went to Jordan, I went to Kuwait, I went to Israel. Actually, we had worked in Israel. And I used to come back from those trips and go, God almighty, those guys talk about water the way we talk about the weather, as we just have. And it sort of struck me one time talking to the guys in Israel that we were working for was a water company, and sort of over a beer, one of them said, how much is your water, Mark? How much do you pay for water? Because it was part of their conversation. And I thought, oh, I said, well, it's sort of included in our property taxes, which it is allegedly here, same as in Scotland. And they said, oh, that's a good way to pay for it. How much is it? And I was completely gobsmacked that I didn't know the answer to that. You know, it's a no idea. Not that I would have known. I've never had a bill with a cost on it. But I really came home from that trip and thought, God, we're incredibly wasteful and I don't know the basics. And I looked into it and water usage and all that stuff. And it just struck me how wasteful we are of a resource that's actually incredibly precious. You know, there's a lot of water out there, but how much of it is fresh water and how much of it is fresh water that you're able to capture and reuse? It's an incredibly small amount.
It's quite shocking as well when you start thinking about,
Yeah, I mean, so really what happens is whenever the water companies were sort of first set up, first, you know, basically since then, the demand for water on a per person per day basis has just increased year on year for 100 years or whatever. Just make more water, keep producing more water was the answer to the demand. And then in the last sort of 10 years, people have realized that that's just not sustainable. So there's a real challenge that the water companies have all sorts of challenges around treatment and over on all of the stuff that you're familiar with, but just being able to source and provide the amount of water that people need is a massive challenge. There are actually water-stressed regions in the UK and in Ireland, Scotland as well, even. Well, that's obviously in the UK. But so there's a real push and a challenge for water companies to get people to change their behaviour. You know, make people aware of it, and then ask them to change their behaviour, or convince them, or nudge them, or whatever that might be, because there basically ain't enough water on an ongoing basis to meet what people are essentially think they're going to need. So all of those things sort of came together, and then, you know, BBC reporters walking around reservoirs that should be 30 feet deep, and they're finding villages that were flooded in the 30s and all that stuff, just completely brings that home to people that there ain't as much water as they think. But the numbers around it, Paul, and I'll maybe give you the details on WISO if now's a good time, but really each of us are using, each of us, you, me, kids, old people, younger people, whatever, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, we're all using as a round number 50 litres. 50 litres of drinking water every day of our lives just to
That's
flush away our urine when we go for a pee only.
and that's significant because I'm just relating that to say we need to be drinking something like 2 liters of water every
Correct.
day, and
Correct.
that's a massive struggle. I struggle doing that, but I'm not struggling putting it down the drain.
You're
50
not struggling using 25 times
times.
that to flush it
No,
away, you know.
that's an astonishing figure.
It's an extraordinary number.
Can I just go back to one thing?
Yes, please.
In my childhood, very big memory. My dad, it's a bit of a laughing thing for my family because he said, right, we're going to go on a because we always used to go caravanning in the summer. My dad worked for Ford's. We had 3 weeks of time holiday because they had to shut down. And he used to, that first night, get the caravan, hook it up, and we'd go all over the country. I've seen everywhere in the country, which, it's really good to know that I've been to most places in the UK. So he goes, right, we're going to go to Wales because there's some beautiful scenery there. And I want to go and look at all the reservoirs. And I think this was 77 time, when we had the massive drought. We turned up to these reservoirs and there wasn't even a puddle. They were dry. All the water normally gushes over the top. We had none of that. It was unbelievable. And we just couldn't believe it. We was looking at the postcards of what we should be seeing. And then we've seen it as a comparison. I think my dad took a load of video footage and we've got that somewhere. Absolutely shocking.
But that goes back, Paul, because that was a famous sort of summer, 76. You know, everyone remembers the cricket, West Indies, and you know, at the Oval, it was like a car, you know, it was just brown.
Concrete, when all the
People
ground
have
was cracking up, wasn't it?
quote the summer of 76 when there was a drought. It's the last 4 years in a row, basically. It's been the same as
Exactly.
it was. So, I mean, there's a marker for you in terms of the change in the whole thing. But just going back to the sort of the WISO thing or the water issue. So the issue isn't just the water, it's the quality of the water. So all the water we use is mains water, basically potable, which is drinking water.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's drinking water standard. It's not water out of a river straight in. It's potable. And you know the way yourself, a hot day, you'd go, I've got to die for a glass of cold water.
Yeah.
There's thousands of people die every day for a glass of cold water, and we're using it to flush down the toilet in ridiculous quantities.
Yeah.
So that's just struck me, and I thought of WISO quite a while back, you know, a good few number of years ago. But it wasn't really until the lockdown 2020 that I really got my head around it and thought, now, you know, I've a bit of time here, I can do something about it. So in Northern Ireland, there's an industrial development board called Invest Northern Ireland, and they will issue a small grant, innovation voucher it's called, and you can get some research done at a university with that. So I went to Queen's University, the biggest university here in the city, and the head of the School of Chemistry, I said, Professor Bell, I said, listen, I'd love a fizzy tablet that releases colour and fragrance and is benign, environmentally benign, you know, because obviously it needs to be simple chemistry. And I said, oh, I think we can do that for you. So Invest NI issued the grant the day after I made the application. So that's really where it started, Paul. You know, a PhD student in a laboratory in Queens coming up with a sort of version one of a WISO tablet. And we've done a second bit of work through that process. And then we went to a commercial lab and we connected with our manufacturer, you know, and we've done all the stuff since then. And our branding, you know, we've come up with our WISO W, a couple of our, all of that stuff. So we've moved it on. Pretty well over the last couple of years, trials, getting feedback from people, and we're in sort of a refinement phase. So we've been using these little dispensers, like the ones I sent you, you know, slide top, drop it on your hand into the toilet. But what we really want is a button operated.
Yeah.
So you push it and it drops out onto your, you know, so you don't have to touch it. So developing and you can't just find a dispenser that works for our tablet. We've got to go and get them made somewhere. So those are a couple of things that we've got to finalize before we release to the market, really. But that's, you know, a couple of months away, a few months away yet.
And are these likely to be on the wall, or are they could just, you just?
Well, good question.
Straight in.
So if you think about use at home, you know, when you're home there, Paul, you'll pick it up off your cistern and you'll push the button and you'll put it back on the cistern. But for hotel rooms, you know, if you think about it in the hospitalities, it would be very like the soap or the shampoo bottle. It'll be on a little bracket.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the risk of it walking out the door with the. So it'll be fixed to the wall, but crucially, there'll be a little information card with the why. You know, here's what WISO is and here's why we're providing it for use.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's over to the user. You know, you'll either get it or you won't.
Yeah.
You'll use it or you won't. But I think if you see it two or three times, you'll go, actually, I do understand that. And I've watched the news and I've heard that. And I, you know, as you get more educated, you'll be quicker to use it, you know.
And it's about the education. It is about the education, isn't it?
Correct. And part of it is this information card. You know the way for 30 years there's been the card about if you're staying for two nights, leave your, you know, use your towels twice.
And I posted one of those recently.
Massively impactful, you know, without really being able to measure it in some ways. You know, I don't know if they did it. They just knew it was a good thing to do, so they did it.
Yeah.
Whereas WISO is one of those things, Paul, where you're able to actually calculate the benefits really quite closely.
Mm-hmm.
So the average flush volume is about 7.5 litres. You know, hotels might be less than that. But if you're saving a flush, it's 7.5 litres. You know what I mean? That's what we haven't used. We've avoided its use.
Yeah.
And from your water company annual report, you can actually calculate the carbon for scope 1 and 2 from their annual report, and you can calculate it down to a flush volume.
Yeah.
And you could probably double that allowing for scope 3. So it's a tangible, carbon isn't that tangible. People don't really get carbon, tons of grams of emissions avoided or whatever. That's not an easy thing for people, whereas hard X times Y liters is a number that you can actually, and of course for businesses they can report on that.
Yeah.
So businesses with an ESG obligation or expectation on them, where they're reporting on environmental, social, and governance, putting that sort of stuff into their annual report is really important for them, and showing a benefit or an improvement from one thing from one year to the next is
Yeah.
really a sort of expectation on them.
Yeah.
And really, water, Paul, I mean, energy is a brilliant thing that you're involved in, but water is sort of overlapping or is overlapped with energy as well. If you're in the property business, energy is a huge cost, water is the second one, or
Yeah.
the
But we have
second
to,
sort
we
of.
also have to pump that water and we have to pressurize the water. So there is an
Right.
energy related item to that as well.
Well, there is, though there is exactly, but I mean, if you're looking at your utility bills, you're going to energy and then the water is the next one. You
Yeah.
can do a number of things around it, but to show a big improvement in water, you've really got to engage with the building users,
Yeah.
your colleagues, maybe if you're in a hotel, your customers, your client, whatever, your clients. Water is a behavioral thing after you get past the first couple of, fix the leaks and do the right thing with
Yeah.
the equipment, if you like.
But
So
there's two costs as well associated with water because you're paying to use the water at the meter, and then you're going to pay for the sewage of that water. So there's a multiplication
Well, absolutely.
factor on
So,
there. So it's double the cost basically. That's what's making water so expensive nowadays, isn't it?
well, yes, exactly. So we would say, WISO is an avoided water avoidance product. There are lots of gadgets, that reduce flow or
Yeah,
take you
slows
from
it down.
X to 0.9X
Yeah.
or whatever it might be, which there's nothing wrong with those. They're perfectly good. Whereas WISO is completely over here in that it's water of, you're leaving it in the ground essentially, or in the Thames or in the river or in the reservoir. But from your bill, you're paid, as you say, for fresh water delivery and the treatment costs and the chemicals, of course, and the energy associated with that. And then it goes into the wastewater system, energy, chemicals, etc., associated with that. So you're taking chemicals out of the environment as well.
Yeah.
Tiny fractions, obviously, at that level. But there's a leaving the water in the ground is good. Avoiding the chemicals is good. Avoiding the
And are we
energy.
putting good chemicals back into the system? That's probably quite important
No,
as well, isn't it?
it's a perfectly good question, because the cure can't be worse than the ailment. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't say. So WISO is an incredibly simple baking cupboard based product, right? It's, I don't want to use the word, edible, but there's no harm in it. It's not for eating, obviously, but to get something to fizz is an acid plus an alkali, and
Yeah.
those two things are consumable. There's a food grade color, and there's a fragrance as well, which is a.
And then does the fizz add to the process by the
Well,
fizzing, or is it?
the fizz is just to appeal to your hearing and your sight. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's you're trying to appeal to what you see, what you hear, and what you smell.
Yeah.
So, sort of appealing to three senses. Fizz is just a good way to deliver the color and the fragrance,
Yeah.
and there's lots of fizzy tablets. So it's a sort of people like, don't maybe expect it in that environment, but people are used to things fizzing in water. So obviously you need to be pretty quiet, or it needs to be a pretty quiet area before you'll hear the fizz, because the quantities of everything aren't that huge. But it definitely, there's a fizz there. Younger children who understand it, see, it seems to be quite an interest to them. They get the love to hear the Wizzo's fizz type thing, is some of the feedback we're getting.
Yeah.
The crucial thing is, Paul, it's not a treatment. So we're not trying to duplicate the treatment process that happens downstream. We're simply providing a mask for any color and any odor that's there,
Yeah.
to give you, potentially the user, as you've done, the confidence to not flush for a while.
Yeah.
You might avoid one flush. You might avoid two flushes on one WISO. We're getting feedback that people are using one WISO for, the average is probably slightly more than one flush. But ultimately, the toilet will be used for another purpose and everything will be flushed back to sort of the start.
Yeah.
But you'll have avoided one or two flushes in the meantime.
Me and my wife, we were using them and we wasn't flushing for the whole day. We would flush once a day.
Well,
In
that's
total.
amazing.
Or once each. So once a day each, you know. And what I was finding when we first started using it, I forget, because it's a habit thing.
Yeah, of course you
You're
do.
trying
Of
to
course
switch a habit, aren't you? And you know, the first thing you do when you're finished,
of course you
put your
do.
flies up, push
Yeah.
the or pull the chain.
Yeah.
I think it's a habit thing that you're going to try and. But if you imagine, maybe many, many years ago, before we had the chain, how many people probably in the beginning didn't flush the chain because that's the habit thing, become a habit, you know?
Well, we've had Wizzo in our house here. There, you know, a couple of kids still living here, and the first couple of days, the first week, people were forgetting. Oh, you could hear them. Oh, I forgot, you know, toilet flush. It's just there. You read it. It's familiar. You use it. You know,
Becomes the
you might
normal.
forget a couple of times. You might forget four times in the first week. It'll be twice in the second week, and if you're into the swing of it, we've actually seen that on a couple of the trials. The use increases as time goes on,
Right, where
because
people
people get
forget.
familiar. Well, people get familiar with it, so
Got you.
they maybe don't use it as much in the first week, but the second week it's up, and the third week it's even better. So it is. It's a behavioural change thing, and that's the challenge, because people go, "Oh, I love Wizzo, but it's a behavioural change thing, and that's difficult." But you know, again, if people are educated and understand it and read the information and appreciate why it's there, they'll make a decision. And it's always a personal, pretty private decision. You know, in the cubicle or in the toilet. You'll either use it or you won't. If you don't, there's no. It's a shame if you didn't, but the next guy will. You know what I mean?
There's no penalty.
There's no penalty. Exactly right. No, that's right.
No.
Correct.
Except for when you leave the cubicle, the trumpets start blowing. Yeah, that's what you draw. Well, that's what we should have, isn't it?
Well, we've had that. We've talked to a couple of potential sort of investors, and they just said, is there any tech involved? You know, can you apply tech to this? And we're going, well, not really. You know, it's not, the toilet doesn't know what it's been used for. You know, you could maybe automate it and or make it, you could maybe build a dispenser into your toilet at some level in the future. But our tech is just a simple green tech, Paul, at this stage, with a couple of, we're looking to include a bioactive enzyme in it, which eats urea. So that might improve, you know, eating away at the source of any odor might help the effectiveness of the fragrance. But that's a sort of a, you know, Wizzo bio type thing. We'll be down the line slightly. We have a bit of research to do on that. But, you know, automating it onto a sensor through a chip on the toilet, you know, that's just probably not anytime soon, you know.
Yeah. It's funny because we have odorless urinals,
yep,
where we're not, the chain isn't flushing anyway. So it should be just a migration set for in the basin. So it really shouldn't be that much different, should it?
No, I don't know how odorless they are, because the odor, what I've learned, amazing what you learn, the odor doesn't come directly from the bowl or the water or the urine in the bowl. It comes from, you know, dilute urine that's been splashed around the bowl or on the floor or in the grout or in the tiles or whatever. That's where any odor in a toilet situation really comes from. You know, it's not the fresh, recent whatever. Our thing is it's just reuse. It's using the water in the bowl and avoiding the flush from the cistern. It's not. I don't know if it's going to work in a. It's not going to work in a urinal because there's no water for it to dissolve in particularly.
No.
So again, people go, oh, I use a urinal and work. And you go, that's okay, you know, once a day or twice a day. But 99, 90 something percent of every time you go for a pee, Paul, you're going to use an ordinary toilet. You know, that's just the way it is, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
So there's plenty of opportunity there for people to get their hands on and use
how do
it.
we have you thought about in your sort of plans and ideas of how we're going to get over the barriers of the habit and people doing this? Have you ever thought about that?
Well, make it available, first of all. So for businesses, you know, as part of a bigger environmental plan, put it in place, make it available, and explain to your colleagues why it's there.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll get over that. So there's the way, if you think about it, Paul, if you're using Wizzo at home, there's you and your family there. There's no real issue in terms of using Wizzo. Why would you not? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a hotel room, again, you and your family or whatever, private bathroom, why would you not? Okay. Yeah. The next space is sort of the work environment. So you and your work colleagues, communal toilets. I know all these guys, we work together, but it's not just as easy as the first two examples.
Mm-hmm.
But you might get there eventually, or you'll all get there. And then the fourth area, which is probably the hardest, but which will happen in time, is coffee shop at the end of the road. You know, public space, completely random, don't know who was in, don't know who's going in after me. You know, that'll be the slowest one to crack, probably. But there's no downside for those businesses to provide Wizzo. Some customers will use it. It may just be slightly different across those four examples, you know.
It's interesting how I think this could play out, exactly what you're saying now. Because I'm thinking about some customers I have that. So I've got two customers, totally the wrong end. One's the right end of the spectrum and one's the wrong end of the spectrum. So the first side of it is a commercial building, five stories. They've got a massive ESG policy. They're working towards education, get everyone on board. That could work. On my other side, where I've got a football stadium, 60,000 people turn up, but it's mainly urinals. So maybe not so. But there's still quite a few. But we could probably do during the core times when there's no events going on, you could possibly take advantage of it then. So there is opportunities.
Yeah, I think what you're really hitting on there, Paul, is the whole engagement opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, for staff, customers. A lot of businesses say, oh, we're using less water because we're using this new equipment over here, or we've changed our pumps, or we've done whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But the staff of that business go, well, that doesn't really, not really involving me as a member of staff. I think it's a good thing for us to do, but yeah. I'm not personally engaged with that, right?
Yeah.
In America, I'm talking to a consultancy in America, and they say people are looking for things that work inside the fence. You know, what are my actual people going to do differently? So that's really what you're saying about your commercial building. It's a chance to engage with the users of that building. And whatever it is, Paul, whatever the use of Wizzo is on day one, it'll only ever increase.
Yeah.
You know, month one compared to month 12, it'll just become natural and it'll be used. Football stadia, if you go to many football matches, Paul, the bathroom habits of the attendees is generally not that, you know, it wouldn't really, well, enough said. But certainly when there's a conference on in that football stadium or the staff using it,
yeah, yeah. Why not?
You know, it's as good an example as any, you know.
Yeah. But if you look at it, that football stadium, that stadium, which used for many, many different venues, they're like all organizations, they're going to have a net zero target halfway to address. And water comes into the net zero. You know, we've got to reduce it. So going forward, as long as we can educate, then we can see there's areas where we can make the savings. In a way, it could be you got the three buttons. Instead of having two buttons, one for pee, one for poo, it's one for pee, one for poo, and one for Wizzo.
A separate one, yeah. You're gonna have
That's the mindset. That's really where we've got to. So if we're going to talk about that, so what are your challenges for your business? Let's talk about the challenges of the business going forward.
Okay, so we're small. There's a couple of us, right? So we've sort of looked at our plan for where what we've done and what we want to do and where we want to go. So we reckon we're through phase one of our plan, which was the very basics of it. Okay, let's get our product, let's get some people interested, and a couple of trials, which we did early. The second phase is a few more trials. Okay, we want to up our game in terms of the trials and who we're trialing with, and I'll maybe mention some of those in a moment. We also want to get some great feedback from people, and we want to refine our product so that it's as good as it can be on day one. Perfection's always beyond you, Paul, right? You're never going to get it absolutely right. But, you know, perfect enough is a phrase somebody used, and that's where we want to get to. As I say, we've been using these dispensers up to now. We want to get those wall fixed dispensers or those button operated dispensers. We're going to be selling Wizzo online, Paul, to concerned consumers. So you'll be able to buy Wizzo basically from anywhere in the world. Right. And we want to know what the regulatory piece is to be able to do that. So there's a bit of research in that. We've got a patent applied for Wizzo. So we've got to keep that. Again, there's lots of fizzy tablets. So that may not, you know, we're not holding our breath waiting on a patent. But, okay, novel step and all that. And then we want to, you know, whenever we have all over the next number of months, we'll have evidence from, you know, hopefully we'll maybe have your commercial building customer as a user of Wizzo. We'll have a couple of hotel chains. We've talked to one of someone we both know on that area. And if we have online sales, direct to consumer, and we have B2B sales, you know, businesses who are using it, hospitality probably, maybe some in the purpose-built student accommodation sector and others. And then we say, actually, guys, here's a serious business opportunity. And on the back of that information, we raise a chunk of money. And that's when we really invest in a B2B sales team and all the other good stuff that goes along with that. So we're very not confident. We're very bullish about Wizzo, you know, and the potential for it. Like, we wouldn't be doing this, Paul, if you didn't think it was a good idea. You know what I mean? So we're pretty comfortable that it's a space that people are really going to grow into. But we're quite conservative in how we're doing it. So we just want to make sure we go through, get all the basics right.
Just one step at a time.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd love it's a one step, firm step in the right direction step, isn't it?
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to make any big mistake, any critical mistakes. And whenever it comes to raising money, Paul, there's loads of ideas. It's the implementation of them is the bit that people are going to invest in. So we want to have as many strong answers to those key issues and maybe some evidence to show against those issues.
You mentioned the Middle East,
where
it all began, your mindset inside of it. There must be big opportunities there because I've worked in the Middle East.
I've had somebody on to me who wants to be an agent for Wizzo in Saudi. I've talked to a couple of guys in the hospitality space in the UAE who, you know, it's a very westernized place, as you know, and the potential for use of Wizzo there is strong. And we have a couple of people to follow up with, but it'll really be the chains that take it into those hospitality spaces. You know, it'll be the hotel chains. And then, of course, there's the potential for people to buy it. The trick to get change there is you've got to go in through a government agency. You know, people, those type of things can become not quite instructions, but public information things on behalf of the government, the relevant government agency. And that's how people react and change their behavior. You know, it's messaging is sort of from the center, if you like. But definite opportunity out there. You know, I've always thought arriving at one of those airports, and as you go through, you know, there's a Wizzo thing, and you please use water carefully when you're visiting wherever it is you're visiting. And here's a wee packet, a wee dispenser with enough to get you by for a couple of weeks. So all of those things. Maybe that's not a great marketing idea, I just thought. But ultimately, we'd be looking for distributors, agents, you know, in those different markets who'll pick it up and run with it, you know, and move it around the world quickly, you know. We've a real journey, Paul. A key thing, sorry, just that I definitely want to get to mention is we absolutely are on a journey of sustainability here. You know, we're starting with recycled plastic dispensers, but we'd love to end up with natural fiber dispensers, at some point in the relatively near future.
Keeping it 100%
So,
sustainable.
yeah, and even the raw materials, are we buying them from the right place or the closest place? And ultimately, to take that to its natural thing is, if America we see as a huge opportunity, ultimately we'll have to make WIZO in America. You can't be shipping tons of stuff across the
Have to be made
Atlantic.
locally in all the places, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Well, within reason, certainly not all in England,
Because
so.
we don't want to be providing a carbon footprint to move it from A to B.
Correct. Exactly right. It's
That's
got to be
amazing.
there.
I admire you for that forward thinking.
Well,
That's a challenge on its own, but
it is
if you can
even the
work with that.
even the life cycle assessment of what we have now. That's amazing. That could be. We certainly people out there ask it. That's why we did think of that, and we were sort of alive to it. But it's absolutely a question that we've got asked
We're not
occasionally.
far away from the trading arm of all of this, anything that you have to prove your carbon footprint from going from A to B.
Correct.
And
Absolutely.
that'll bring it all in a line.
Yeah.
So it's come to that time in this interview where I like to put my interviewee on the spot. Now,
Okay.
literally, is there anything that, based on your technology and what you're doing, is there anything that you feel that you can give back to the audience today regarding a takeaway for them?
Well, without it sounding like a real sales pitch, but a genuine thinking behind WIZO, right, is if you think using less water is a good idea, that ticks a WIZO box. If you think less harmful chemicals get into the environment and less energy being used is a good idea, that's WIZO, tick that box as well. If you're concerned about your water bill, you guys in the UK are all paying water bills, Paul, and they went up 9% in July or June or whatever there. They're only going to go one way. If you want to save a bit of money, if you use WIZO, it's less than half the cost of a flush. So you're getting 100% plus return on your spend. Nobody's giving you 100% plus return on anything, Paul, right? You're getting 5% in the bank if you're lucky, whatever, right?
You're lucky,
Not big numbers, but so it works on a money basis as well, financial basis. And then really, Paul, the purpose of doing this, you gotta have some impact or positive impact. Hopefully it's not just about the business or whatever. So water is not easy to ship around. You and I saving water by using WIZO, nice thing to do, but it's not exactly helping an individual who doesn't have any water. So we look to connect with a water charity, water organization of some sort, and we'd to be a contribution from WIZO to that charity who are actually drilling wells for people in places where they don't have any water. So there's a bit of a social, aspect to it. That's maybe down the line a wee bit before we can do that. But at least I think I'm doing something positive here and it's having a positive impact somewhere else. So that would be those would be my four sort of takeaways on the
Yeah, I
why, if
like
you
that.
like, you know.
You mentioned about the good feeling of so I used it. I trialed your products. And yeah, as we said, it's a habit thing. I keep forgetting. But I did it and I got through the habit side of it and I went through a couple of boxes. I felt really good knowing that I didn't pull that change and it was no difference. I feel really good
Yes.
in
No
myself
downside.
knowing that
Yeah.
I've contributed because it was very, for me, it was very visual. I could
Yeah.
see the saving because I hadn't pushed that button.
That's a great point. So we've had the benefit, Paul, of a number of trials have been carried out by some of the UK water companies for us. Northumbrian Water did a trial first up, just said we love this idea and we'll trial it, okay? Southern Water have done a trial for us, which involved quantitative data as well as the sort of qualitative stuff. And Affinity Water, which I don't think is a million miles from you there, they're a supply-only company. They actually trialed WIZO with 1,600 households, which was the biggest trial we've had done to date, which was brilliant. And the beauty of that was the survey information was from nearly 800 people.
Right.
Okay, so these were motivated people. They offered to participate in the trial, okay? But we've got genuine qualitative information from nearly 800 people.
Yeah.
And the two key answers of why did you use Wizzo, first of all, was I wanted to save water, because I understand that. The second one, nothing to do with carbon or money. I felt like I was doing my bit for the environment.
Yeah.
That was the second motivating factor for them.
Yeah, and you do.
Just,
You do.
so that's great. I mean, that's a feat, because it's not easy to do your bit. It's not easy to change behavior and it's hard, easy to jump in the car rather than walking or jumping on a bus. You want to fly somewhere, you've only one choice. You got to fly. You know what I mean? It's not easy to reduce your personal footprint, or things that do make it easier, I think, will have a bit of uptake, you know,
Yeah,
be
yeah.
attractive.
Well, I, for one, I've used the product. I recommend it. I've posted about it. And I think it is, as I say, it felt like I was doing my thing. I like the smell it gave off. I like the whole scenario of it, really. It was really good.
So just on that, so version one, Paul, is a blue, a recognizably clean blue color with a lemon fragrance, which is a sort of a classic combination, right?
Yeah.
But we also, apart from the bioactive ingredient, we want to come up with a range of Wizzos. So we want to have a dark green with a pine,
yeah,
a purple with a lavender. So we've some work to do, and that's another one of the projects we want to do in this second phase. But you know, we have this sort of picture that Wizzo could sit halfway down the aisle in Sainsbury's or Asda or wherever it might be, with those three combinations that are not dissimilar to other products, you know, cleaning, except our one's completely different in that it's got a completely benign impact, or zero
Yeah.
impact, if you like.
Yeah.
So no, the blue and the lemon, certainly version one, but watch this space, and we'll take a bit of shelf space.
I'm going to
maybe.
put my order in now. I want purple. I think you just mentioned purple. The purple and the lavender, I think, would work really well.
Yes, we just have to make sure that we can get the same reaction in the chemicals in the
Yeah,
tablet for those different combinations. So, no, I'll put you down for a box of purple and lavender whenever we get there, you know.
Brilliant. Well, Mark, thank you very much for coming along today and sharing that. I'm really excited about this product. I've promoted it. I'm looking forward to see the involvement. I'm going to be speaking with my clients regarding their ESG approach, and I think it fits in nicely with them. So, yeah, thank you for coming and sharing it. And thank you for originally reaching out to me and wanting to talk to me about it.
Listen, Paul, I can only thank you for your time and attention and giving me a chance to do this podcast with you. It's my first podcast, so
oh,
thank
brilliant.
You for that. I think we'll
I
get
have
a
a habit of interviewing people for the first time.
Is that right? Well, very good.
We'll have to do one another 6 months. We'll do one in another 6 months. Let's see where we are with the product and things, and keep it really moving.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Thanks again, Paul. Appreciate it.
And Mark, please, you and your family, stay safe in these times.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Paul. Cheers.
Thank you.